Tell me, how do you feel when you hear church bells or temple bells chiming? Or when the cool breeze flows through your hair as you climb up a monastery? Or when you hear the sound of water flowing while you're seated in a lotus pose doing yoga by an icy stream that's carrying water from the mountains to the valley below? Or when you inhale the aroma of incense of frangipani as you perambulate a sacred Tibetan lake? Or while lying comfortably on your bed, reading a couplet written by Rumi or Khusro before turning off the light and drifting to sleep? Do you feel good? Do you feel connected to something which is higher up, something special? This feeling is what we may call spirituality. In these troubled times, many more of us have taken refuge under spirituality for our mental and physical well-being. So we thought, in today's podcast, why not take you to the land of spirituality, India. From being the birthplace of yoga and several of the world's major religions, to being the location of several beautiful ashrams and places of worship, India is the place to be if you're looking to turn inwards in search of inner peace and tranquility. Welcome to Travel John's podcast by two traveling Indians, Huma and Sudeep. Today, in this episode, we are going to talk about spirituality and spiritual tours in India. So in today's podcast, we'll ask questions to Huma, who for this podcast will be our spiritual guru and guide. So Huma, are you a spiritual person?
I don't know what people mean when they say they are spiritual. It's like repeating, I am human. I guess we are all spiritual at different levels of awareness or ignorance. Just that, yes, I am more interested in finding what is there within. I want to know, do I have any power, or I'm just supposed to lead my life based on the five senses and continue everything blindly when we all get to experience things beyond worldly logic at some point in life or the other? I don't call things I don't understand random. I have to know the randomness. I am open to understanding possibilities, you can say, and I'm not a guru.
Okay, so we call this interest in understanding the possibilities of life. How come? How come you got inclined towards this interest in understanding the possibilities of life, Huma?
Okay. See, I have been a student of mind, power and beliefs for as long as I can remember. As a kid, whenever I would fall sick, I believed that my maternal uncle would come and I would get fine, and so would be the case. I had a toy phone at home, and each time the power would go in between my Mickey Mouse episode then, I would call from that phone believing that the power would come back. And it did come each time invariably. Pachmadi being a religious place with many Shiva temples, as I was growing up, so Om Namah Shivaya became my mantra to fight my fears. Then I remember when I reached my middle school, I read about Raj Bhakna in Competition Success and started believing in the power of mind. Now, interestingly, the same mind can give you both sides of the results. And when this mind becomes the master, you get results you don't like. Spirituality comes into picture then, because that's when you understand there is something beyond the mind. And the same happened to me as well. From health to career to difficult childbirth to some of the difficult relationships, every experience put together made me inquisitive. I started reading books. I started joining specific groups of people with similar interests to understand. I heard teachers, gurus, tried many things like Reiki, to Buddhist chanting, to kinds of meditations. Presently, I'm still in the place where I'm figuring out and hoping someday I'll be there. However, every experience from book to people to practice has been valuable and brought some subtle change in me I know you would laugh, Sudeep, but subtle changes are not evident to everyone, especially to those you see around every day. And who knows, my temperament could have been worse without meditation.
See, I'm not laughing, okay, but maybe. So since we are going to talk about spiritual tools in India today, let me understand your definition of spirituality and meditation.
Okay, so what is it that we are all looking for in life? To be happy?
Mm-hmm.
We are all seeking happiness through various means, through money, travel, position, designations, various other things. I'll extend it by saying that we all want to be blissful, that is joyful, 100% of the time. Why compromise with just 50% happiness when we get things and 50% pain when we don't? Now, as a human, my bliss would come from getting as best as can be when it comes to operating in life. The choices I make, the way I handle things, the way I take life per se. Because we don't have control over external things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, all this requires wisdom. Wisdom to act instead of reacting due to emotions or beliefs or assumptions or past memories. Now, the more complex it gets, the more wisdom you need.
Me?
No, maybe you don't. I definitely need. In fact, sooner or later, we will need the knowledge of complete reality or truth. I mean, understanding the creation, the reason of our being, our pleasure and pains, why something happens to one or another and beyond. Now, how do I get this wisdom, for example? There are two ways to learn or acquire wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
First is we learn our life lessons either through pain or by insight. And I think I would prefer insight. This is where spirituality and meditation come into the picture. For me, spirituality would be uncovering the layers that we have to dig deeper to get to the truth or the wisdom within. You know, connecting to that feeble voice within us that comes from the space of conscience that keeps telling us, you know, what is right. Though we, because of the layers, we just ignore that many times or don't even listen to that. And meditation is taking a pause to do that uncovering or to dig deep within. Now, after all, we have just this mind and body to work with to get to the truth or the reality or wisdom, whatever you call it. And most importantly, as I said, I'm still figuring out. This is my personal theoretical understanding given my level of awareness.
Heavy.
I know. I wish I was one of those super cool people who would simply say hi on life rather than using so many words.
So what do you practice and recommend at present?
See, choosing your path is up to you. But I'll say a few things that make sense to start with. You know, our son always tells me, my wish, I will do what I like or love. And I always say, surely do what you love, but definitely do what is right and should be done. Yes, I am talking about dharma. I believe our first duty or dharma is towards ourselves in terms of taking care of our body and mind, because that's what we have. Body, of course, it's about eating right and doing regular exercise. I follow yoga and some basic eating discipline. For mind, I have enjoyed doing heartfulness meditation practice and vipassana. I practice vipassana at present. It was taught in Tihar Jail and it worked there, so I'm assuming it should also work for me. Heartfulness, on the other hand, is quite simple and yet a beautiful practice due to the immense support you get from your trainers and the whole system. Next comes a duty towards others, including our environment, our planet, and society at large. We can do our bit in whichever way possible, either through resources or time, especially in the causes we believe in and comes from our heart. I have chosen children and wildlife. You can do anything you connect with. Even volunteer by giving your services. For example, there's a site called eVidya Loka where one can give online teaching to rural children from the comfort of home. So that's a great contribution. Besides, one of the greatest services contributing towards the development and teachings of Dharma. Most meditation centers, including Heartfulness, Vipassana, these places have this option where you can give your voluntary services. That's all I can say.
Got that. Understand too. Which all books and people have influenced you, Homa?
Good question. There are many.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, you attract similar stuff in life, they say. So one after the other book on similar subjects kept coming my way. When I read one, another came. However, I would recommend five. One is Autobiography of a Yogi by Yogananda Paramahansa.
Okay, that's one.
I think Steve Jobs has already made it quite popular. Then Holy Science by Yogananda's Guru Swami Sri Yukteswar.
Okay.
Living with the Himalayan Masters by Swami Rama.
Okay.
Heal Your Life by Louis Hay. Many people may not consider it to be exactly spiritual, but then I did learn forgiving from that book.
Okay.
Then Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. So these are in terms of books. And of course, the same people who have written. I've liked listening to Sadhguru at times.
That sort of explains the next question I had. But okay, let me ask. Why India for in search of spirituality?
India is a place where we still have many saints, many gurus, and many people following the journey of self-exploration beyond any religion or belief system.
Beautiful.
It's only by using mind and body. And it's high time that we Indians recognize our spiritual heritage. Being spiritual is modern and cool too.
Mm.
That need not be just in Western world.
Well said.
Secondly, we have places with such divine energy and ancient wisdom in North India as well as in South, where one would find it very easy to connect to oneself because of the energy of those places. You just sit there and you feel the difference. Thirdly, we have ashrams and spiritual centers where you get guidance on specific lifestyle and practices which can help your alignment with the laws of nature possible and in turn your initiation into the path of spirituality. I mean, by living a little simpler and disciplined life, you become more aligned to understand the subtle nature of life.
Could you give us some examples?
Sure. So, I've always felt you don't have to really go to the temple and, you know, recite all mantras. Even when you go for trek and you are not thinking about anything but to climb up the mountain or to cross a river, you are just there at that moment, nowhere else. That itself is meditation. Now, Himalayas is a great place for that. Whether you are going there for trekking purpose or to visit any temples or shrines or to stay in ashrams located in its lap, you're sure to have an unforgettable experience.
Yeah,
I don't mean just touching and coming back. You have to really
immerse,
be there.
Yeah.
Be there, whether it's a temple or ashram. Spend some time there. Secondly, for ashrams and spiritual centers, I'll give you examples like in Rishikesh, you have many. One is pretty popular, that is Paramarth Niketan. In South, in Bangalore, you have Sri Sri Ravi Shankar's Ashram Art of Living. You have Isha Yoga Center in Coimbatore. You have Heartfulness Kanha Ashram in Hyderabad. Then Vipassana centers are there across India, even in other countries, of course. You will find many within India and abroad. And there are other well-known places like Raman Maharshi's ashram in Tiruvannamalai, then I'm sure by now, you know, a lot of people would have read about Steve Jobs recommending Neem Karoli Baba's ashram in Kaichi Dham to Mark Zuckerberg. So that also is one place.
Yeah, these are, I think, pretty famous names. Thanks. So Huma, let's get to tours and trips that one could do in India. Can you suggest some of the best spiritual or religious tours in India?
Sure. So we have designed 6 tours specifically for this purpose. Mm-hmm. But I have one suggestion before I start. So in almost all the tours, we have included one or the other's, you know, meditation course. Because when you're really going for spiritual tours,
why not have a meditative experience?
Why not have, you have to add, you know, place with the experience.
Okay.
Not just touch and go.
Why don't you tell us what you have in mind?
So, let me start with the first, Kedarnath, Badrinath. Though India, there are 4 dhams famous, but we have chosen these 2 dhams. And we have also included a course in Rishikesh, a meditation course. So in this, Badrinath is situated in the Himalayan mountains and is famous for Badri Narayan temple. Vishnu temple. It is one of the 4 dhams. And Kedarnath is a heaven for devotees of Lord Shiva. It has beautiful cliffs, mountains, and is considered one of the world's holiest places. The trek is amazing. You remember we had done it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you start? You can start from Delhi, go to Rishikesh. Now what I was talking about, the meditation part, you can either add your meditation course in the beginning of any tour or at the end. So you from Delhi, you go to Rishikesh on your first day, stay overnight at Rishikesh. Second day, from Rishikesh, you go to Guptakashi, stay at Guptakashi overnight, because your trek starts from near Guptakashi for Kedarnath. So first you finish your trek. Third day, early morning, you do either trek or helicopter, with whatever is comfortable, you go to Kedarnath, stay overnight. Then on the fourth day, you come back from Kedarnath to Guptakashi. By afternoon, you will be there. And post lunch, you drive to Badrinath. Stay overnight at Badrinath. On fifth day, morning darshan you do at Badrinath. And then by evening, return to Joshimath. Stay overnight at Joshimath. On sixth day, you travel from Joshimath to Rishikesh. This is going to be a long journey. Stay overnight at Rishikesh. And then seventh day, you be at Rishikesh. Now you can, of course, you have the option to end the tour here, return back to Delhi, or you can do that meditation course. One of the courses, yoga, meditation, lot of things are possible in Rishikesh. Paramarth Niketan is there. You have to pre-book all those things. Second tour is South India Temples Tour. South Indian temples possess fascinating pasts, have beautiful architecture and design, plus divine energy. Home to several UNESCO World Heritage Sites, this temple tour combines treasures of Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, Karnataka, Kerala, and Tamil Nadu. It's an unforgettable holy experience because we also include a course, meditation course at the end. Now, we start at Chennai for this. So first day, day one, Chennai to Tirupati, overnight at Tirupati. Day two, you do morning darshan at Tirupati and then leave for Chennai, overnight at Chennai. Day three, Chennai to Mahabalipuram via Kanchipuram. Stay at Mahabalipuram for the night. Day four, Mahabalipuram to Pondicherry via Tiruvannamalai. You stay overnight at Pondicherry. Day five, also you stay at Pondicherry, do the local sightseeing. Day six, Pondicherry to Tanjavur via Chittambaram. Stay overnight at Tanjavur. Day 7, Tanjavur
to Madurai via Trichy, Tiruchirappalli. You stay overnight at Madurai. Day 8 again Madurai. Day 9 Madurai to Kanyakumari, stay overnight at Kanyakumari. Day 10 Kanyakumari to Trivandrum, overnight at Trivandrum. Day 11 do Trivandrum local. Day 12 Trivandrum to Bangalore or Coimbatore, depending on where and in which ashram you would prefer to do the course. You will find, in fact, if you want to extend your stay at Trivandrum, you can do that as well. You will find yoga meditation in almost all places in India now, especially in South India. So, yeah, that's it. And then third comes Buddhist circuit. Buddhism, the fourth largest religion in the world, originated in India. Its legacy has been left in a number of pilgrimage centers, stupas and monasteries across northern and central India. One can visit places important in Buddha's life in this tour, like his place of birth, enlightenment, teaching and attaining nirvana. And of course, you can do Vipassana course that goes along with Buddha circuit. For Buddhist circuit, you again start at Delhi. Stay overnight at Delhi. Second day, from Delhi you travel to Shravasti via Lucknow. Day 3, you travel to Lumbini from Shravasti. Day 4, from Lumbini to Kushinagar. Kushinagar is the birthplace of Lord Buddha. Day 5, Kushinagar to Patna. Day 6, from Patna you travel to Bodh Gaya, where he had attained Nirvana. Day 7, you travel from Bodh Gaya to Varanasi. Day 8, you do sightseeing at Varanasi. And day 9, you can go back to Delhi. Now you have the option of doing Vipassana course in any of the places: Kushinagar, Lucknow, Sarnath, Shravasti, Bodh Gaya, Lumbini. All these places have Vipassana meditation center. So either in the beginning or at the end, in any of these places, you can do the course and experience Buddhism in a deeper way. The fourth tour that I'm going to talk about is Golden Temple along with Hemkund Sahib. One of the most visited temples, Golden Temple is the cornerstone of Sikhism, and Hemkund Sahib is the highest Gurudwara in the world, and it's an amazing journey. We have included Hemkund Sahib, but of course, it depends on the time at hand and the fitness levels. It's not a very easy to reach place, but I remember it's the road is very beautiful because we have been to Valley of Flowers, and it's through the same route. For this tour, you start at Amritsar. The first day you do the Golden Temple. Day 2, you travel to Rishikesh from Amritsar. Now you can either fly till Dehradun and then go to Rishikesh, or do the road journey itself via Paunta Sahib, depending on the time and your comfort levels. But you will have to come back and stay at Rishikesh overnight, because Paunta Sahib does not have very good places to stay. Day 3, you do Rishikesh again, the local sightseeing, and stay overnight. Day 4, you travel to Joshimath from Rishikesh. It's again a long journey because of hills. Day 5, Joshimath to Govind Ghat. This would be your starting point. You can get helicopter pithu from this place. This is from where your journey to Hemkund Sahib starts. Day 6, if you want to trek, your trek starts to Hemkund Sahib, 4 hours one side, or you can do helicopter. You have to stay, if you prefer, at Hemkund Sahib or come back to your Govind Ghat. Day 7, from Govind Ghat, get back to Joshimath. Day 8, Joshimath to Rishikesh. And day 9, Rishikesh to Delhi. You can include your, you know, the course at Rishikesh here too. Or else, if you actually trek to Hemkund Sahib, that itself would be a great meditation. Fifth tour I'm going to talk about is Varanasi along with Allahabad. One of the holiest cities in the world, Varanasi is the seat and symbol of ancient Indian spirituality. From aarti at Ganga Ghats to boat rides to sound of bells, drums, Sanskrit mantras to majestic Buddhist landmarks, everything you can experience in this tour. So we start at Varanasi. Then day 2, you travel to Sarnath from Varanasi. Besides Buddhism, Sarnath is also connected to Jainism. Day 3, you travel to Allahabad, stay at Allahabad overnight. Day 4, Allahabad sightseeing, you go to Triveni Sangam, the confluence of three rivers, Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. Day 5, you travel to Chitrakoot via Allahabad and come back to Allahabad, stay overnight. Day 6, you can either leave from there or extend your stay and do any meditation or yoga course. Varanasi has lots of places which can offer these. Last but not the least, the sixth tour that I'm recommending is Kailash Mansarovar. Over 30 million years old, Mount Kailash has existed even before the Himalayas came to be. To Hindus, it is the residence of Lord Shiva and his consort Parvati. To Tibetans, it is Sumeru, the cosmic center of the universe. North of Mount Kailash is the world's highest freshwater lake, Mansarovar, a journey that rings with spiritual vibrations. It is said that a parikrama, or you can say the trekking the circuit around the mountain, around Mount Kailash and a dip in the lovely waters of Mansarovar are enough to cleanse your body and soul of all your sins. The picturesque location among this mountain ranges are breathtaking, as it is considered to be surrounded by the divinity of Lord Shiva. There are many routes. The less complex route to Kailash Mansarovar are through Kathmandu and Simikot in Nepal and Lhasa in Tibet. Apart from these, actually Ministry of Tourism has figured out two more routes. One is through Uttarakhand and another one through Sikkim. Today I'll talk about the simpler one, which is through Kathmandu. So it's going to be a 10-day journey. You start at Kathmandu, arrive there, do local sightseeing. Second day, you fly from Kathmandu to Nepalganj, stay overnight at Nepalganj. Day 3, from Nepalganj, you fly to Simikot and Simikot to Hilsa by helicopter. Simikot to Hilsa is by helicopter. And then drive to Purang. There you stay overnight. Day 4, again you stay at Purang. Day 5, your journey starts. You drive, you start from Purang to Mansarovar and stay overnight at Darchin after your day's visit. Day 6, from Darchin to Dirapuk. You do parikrama, it's a 5 hours walk. And you stay overnight at Dirapuk. Day 7, again parikrama to Zuthulpuk. This is going to be longest and toughest day. Day 8 will be parikrama to Chongdo, and you stay overnight at Hilsa. Day 9, from Hilsa, you again fly to Simikot, and then again fly to Kathmandu. rest at Kathmandu. Day 10, you return from Kathmandu. So, these are the six major spiritual tours that I wanted to talk about. However, if you are particular about Islamic religious sites, then you can visit them separately in Delhi, Ajmer, Mumbai and Hyderabad, and add a Vipassana or heartfulness meditation or even Kriya Yoga practice at the end, because all these are absolutely beyond religion and rituals. It's for everyone. Similarly, for Christianity too, you can visit churches in Goa and in South India and add, you know, similar courses. In fact, they say even Jesus practiced Kriya Yoga.
Okay, Huma. So now let's get to our Cut the Clutter section, where we talk more specifics about when to travel, how to travel, where to stay, and all other questions that our listeners would have in mind.
Okay, so first thing, best time to go. There is no particular time to undertake pilgrim tours in India except for places in hills, including Kailash Mansarovar Yatra, Amarnath Yatra and Chardham. May to July is the best and only time for Amarnath. On the other hand, April, May and June beginning or September, October beginning is the appropriate time for Chardham Yatra and as well as, you know, Hemkund Sahib. Secondly, how to reach? So, combination of flights and road journey. Places in hilly regions are not easy due to unexpected landslides and road conditions. So, keeping a few days additional at hand would help, especially if you need to fly out of India post your trip. Check the routes and distances. Understand the road conditions. In hills, 200 kilometers is different from 200 kilometers on plains. So, prepare accordingly. Third, a way to stay. So in most itineraries, you will not have a common base location because you keep moving from one place to another with overnight stays at different places. So you need to prepare accordingly. Pack light, eat light, and stay at 3-star plus hotels wherever possible for better hygiene. I would talk about precautions. During such tours in high altitude region, you must have, taken a pre-health checkup to avoid any tensions after you reach that place. Men and women are advised in India to cover their heads and body appropriately when entering any religious place or temple. As far as the safety is concerned, India is generally safe and you might be very unlucky to fall prey to pickpocketing. It's always wise to take precautionary measures though. Avoid carrying huge currency notes at any place. Smaller would be preferred. Almost all hotels have security locks and people prefer to leave their stuff locked inside the room. Always carry, you know, attested photocopies of your travel documents. That's something one can do. Then regarding visa, because not every place is within India itself. So, especially for Kailash Mansarovar Yatra, everybody, including foreign nationals and Indians, would need a Chinese visa. Lastly, I would say, try combining the places with experience. Do meditation courses, yoga courses for sure, either in the beginning or at the end of the circuit. Spiritual tours don't mean that we go to these places, temples, or, you know, churches or masjid when we get old or are relatively free. These are equally great experiences for super cool, busy people. In fact, the fitter you are, the better it is to reach many of these places. You can trek and walk past the landslide areas easily. I remember we had done the same in Badrinath, wherein, you know, lot of old people had to return back because they couldn't trek or cross the landslide area. Lastly, if you are an entrepreneur following Steve Jobs or Zuckerberg and have Neem Karoli Baba's ashram on your list too, then I must say that's just one of the mentions. India is full of miracles and mystics, and you must travel to believe it for yourself.
You've been listening to Travel John's podcast. This is Huma, and our episode today was produced by me and Sudeep. We'll be back next week with a new episode on best India landscapes in the current series of India Travel. Thank you for listening. To get your weekly updates, please do like, share, and subscribe to Travel John's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or from wherever you get your podcast from. It'll help us keep coming back with interesting stories and destination insights. Ciao.